staff to teach in a mission school that was run by the American Presbyterians South. We had both day girls and boarders, and some 300 of them. And I was to teach in the senior school. The girls were most friendly, but they had a mind of their own, so that when the government in 37 were not fighting the Japanese, and these girls and other schools thought they should, they went on strike against glasses, went up to the station and demanded transport to Nanking in order to speak to the government. They were refused, and they proceeded to lie down on the rails to prevent any trains leaving. So students, even middle school students in those days, took a great deal of interest in their country. The school was called Mary Farnham School. It had been founded in 1900 and by an American society, as I have mentioned. And the girls who came were the children of middle class families in Shanghai, although some of them actually boarded. The idea was, of course, to introduce them to Christianity. And there were religious instruction lessons in the classrooms, but I suppose the more important thing was small friendships, friendship groups, and groups of the older girls who during the summer were helped to do social work among the children on the street. There were bombs dropped on Shanghai by the Japanese, more or less accidentally. Our school was bombed, and we had to move into the international settlement. Originally, the school was out in the native quarter, but we moved into the international settlement. Couldn't have boarders, but we were able to run the school morning, half morning and half afternoon, different children, in a house in the international settlement. The staff, of course, also had to live over there until we were able to get back to our own quarters when repairs had been made. It wasn't until 42 that the Japanese entered the Second World War. That was the date of Pearl Harbor. And it was then that we were conscious of Japan being in the war, because all overseas people had to wear armbands. You wore a red B if you were British, an A if you were American, and you weren't allowed to meet on the street in more than three people together. Later they decided that they would in turn, British and American and their families, and so there were seven or eight camps scattered around Shanghai. One camp was for families with children, with the idea that they would be able to run a school for those children. I was in a camp upcountry first at Yangchow on the Grand Canal. But the Japanese up there found that the country people would not provide them with rice. And so a little bit later, when the Americans in the camps in Shanghai were able to go home in exchange for Japanese in America who came back to Japan, we were brought down from Yangchow and put into the camps in Shanghai in their places. The camp that we were brought to had been a camp for men only. When we arrived, we were walking down the street, and in front of us we saw this enormous warehouse on one of the wharfs, and at every window was a bearded figure. The men had been alone in the camp, and many of them had vowed that they wouldn't shave until they were out of camp. But I think we had been in camp about a month when they decided that they would shave and become a little bit more beautiful.
Presentable?
Yes, presentable. In that camp, there are about 1,000 people. And the Japanese left us to arrange, make our own arrangements about who did cooking, who did the drains, and things like that. We had some very fine men in the camp, particularly some of the businessmen who undertook to clean drains and things, because they hadn't a particular skill suitable either for running a hospital or for running a school for what children we had. We had, I suppose, about 30 children, all ages, textbooks of all different kinds, some of which had been brought by parents who had cared about thinking of their children's education. And we managed to get sufficient material for teaching purposes. The accommodation in the camp was a warehouse on, I think it was the Blue Funnel Wharf, and the dormitories were therefore great big rooms, and on the floor was drawn a little rectangle which was your domain. On it you had a bed, a box, and anything that you happened to have brought in, because when we went in we were allowed to take a bed, a box, and anything we could carry. When we first went into internment, we were marched through the main street and put on two little barges which went up to the Grand Canal and to the city of Yangchau. Then later, we came back the same way down to Shanghai and went to our wharf accommodation. The organization in the camp was that if you were willing, you did what you could for the camp. We had two qualified doctors and who ran a hospital with what things they could get. We had a very fine nurse, missionary nurse there, Jean Gillison. And those of us who had been teachers were asked to run a school for the children. This was run in an enormous go-down or wharf. And in that room, everything was going on. There were a ladies' sewing party trying to mend and make clothes for the children. And there was one part where there was a man doing eye exercises with people, another where they were doing gymnastics, and our school was in one corner of the room. And the children really learned in a wonderful way to concentrate, which I think was a big help to them. When some of these children grew, were 15, 16, they were ready to take school leaving examination. And so we decided to run a school leaving examination for them. We got people, engineers who were in the camp, to make up the questions, and we ran as complete as we could, examination. After the war, we sent those papers up to Oxford and Cambridge Examination Board, and they were passed for matriculation, which was a satisfaction for us.